Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
What's going on, YouTube? It's time to Mega Preview Pod, the Open Championship storylines, best bets, one and done. Hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribed. We'll start now. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and here we go. The 150th Open Championship Mega Preview Pod. I know the coach is here. Coach, good to see you.
Fired up. Ready to go. Let's get it.
And Kyle Porter, KP, is there. Kyle Porter, look at this grin. He just has this grin on his face. Hello, sir.
It's been, I remember Scott Van Pelt saying probably a decade ago now that Augusta National is the one place that always lives up to the hype, that never disappoints. And I think you can throw St. Andrews into the mix as well. It's only Tuesday, and I'm already saying that. It's been just an extraordinary trip. It almost feels the town is the backdrop, almost feels not real. Like it feels like the Truman Show, where it was the wall that you like couldn't go past. That's a little bit what it feels like to me, but it's been amazing. I can't believe that I'm actually here. Gotten to play some super fun golf at some crazy courses, and Tiger said it today, but this is the most historic Open ever. And, it's only Tuesday and it's already felt like that.
It is. Yes. Shaping up to be an absolute special one. I want to dive right into it, but first I need to ask for 30 quick seconds because we've been nominated for the best sports podcast in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And we'd appreciate it if you go over there and vote for us. So here's what you can do. You can hit the link in the description. You can scan the QR code on the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, you can type in podcastawards.com/app/sign-up and then go down to the sports category and choose the First Cut Podcast. That would be very much appreciated if you could take the time. Gentlemen, oh boy, history. Coach Kyle already gave us a little bit of a glimpse of it, but we've got Tiger, we've got St. Andrews, we've got the 150th, we've got all the live stuff lurking. We got it all. We got it all.
There is, at least for me, there has never been more anticipation for a major championship in Europe than there is for this particular one. All the stuff that you just said, it's going to be amazing. And I think so far as we lead into it, I think with what Tiger has said the last 24 hours, we'll get into with Rory, but seeing all the images of Tiger and Jack, Tiger and Rory and Jack, and then Tiger and Rory and Jack and Lee, and then the females as well. It's been amazing to watch from afar. I can only imagine what it's like for Kyle to be there. And I said this yesterday on one of the shows that I did, that I don't think there's ever been a major that a player would want to win more than this one this week, because this will always be remembered. It will always be remembered as a very special week with all the champions in attendance and what it means as well.
KP, you spoke with Rory McIlroy in what we call an exclusive to CBSSports.com. First off, how does an exclusive come together? Did you just text him? Do you just grab him in the corner? Like, what is that even? How does this even happen?
Grab him in the corner is a little aggressive. He was actually staying at Adair Manor, which is where they had the JP McManus Pro-Am all of last week. So he wasn't, I always feel bad doing that, but it was text, and I don't think he was doing a ton last week. He played the round with Tiger at Ballybunion, obviously, but didn't have a ton going on. So yeah, we just got together on, I guess it was Saturday afternoon, my time, Saturday morning, your time, and had a great chat. He's always very generous with his time. And I very much enjoyed it. And it was a cool thing to do ahead of what I think, and kind of what Coach said, is the most important event of the year.
Yeah, he was probably hanging around making sure he wasn't going to injure anything in advance of this Open Championship. keep that ankle nice and safe. Okay, KP, it's a wide range. It's available on CBSSports.com right now. There's everything from book recommendations to his thoughts about LIV, the latter probably making more of the headlines. But what do you think is the biggest takeaway from what Rory McIlroy had to say to you?
Well, I guess it has to be the LIV stuff. You know, I asked him to sort of clarify what he told the BBC, which I lose track of this stuff. I think you and I talked about last week, Rick. Or no, excuse me, Mark and I talked about it. Yeah, Mark and I talked about it. That's right. Because you were out for a bit. And he sort of clarified that and just said... Yeah, I have to like mentally assent to dive back into all this stuff because it's so complicated. But essentially said, like, I don't want LIV to exist. But and I think what he's getting at here is these were not the words that he used, but essentially he was saying, but if the Saudis are insistent on their money being in the golf world, then let's get it into the PGA Tour, European Tour, and make those organizations better, which is essentially what has happened in other sports, right? Now, whether you agree with that or not is not, you know, it's up to you. Like, I think that could still be critiqued and criticized in a lot of ways, but I think people accusing him of flip-flopping, it's more an evolution of his stance on where the money is coming from. He's not in any way saying that he wants LIV to exist. He's simply saying, if that money's going to be in golf, get it away from LIV, give it to us, make LIV go away, and let's just sort of work things out in this sport, which, again, is going back to kind of what F1 has done in their sport. So I guess that's probably the biggest takeaway. For me, it wasn't the most exciting thing because I really wanted to talk to him about this particular event. And I thought for me, you know, I asked him, does this open feel more consequential than other majors and opens? And I was surprised that his answer, usually he gets like big picture really easily, and he even talked about how he loves contextualizing things, but he went straight to, yeah, it feels more consequential because I'm playing awesome, is essentially what he said. And it was kind of like, hell yeah, like that's a great answer, because, you know, I think sometimes we sort of categorize him as a spokesperson for golf, which he's been in a lot of ways, and we forget that he's an individual golfer that's trying to win major championships as well. And so for me, that I thought that was a pretty cool answer.
I'll put a bow on this LIV stuff here, Coach, because I have the quote, and then we can get onto everything else that's St. Andrews. So the McIlroy quote to Kyle is, quote, if LIV went away tomorrow, I'd be super happy. My stance hasn't softened on that, but my stance on where the money is coming from is where I've sort of softened, because I just look at every other sport and I see the money that's going in there and I can see what benefits that has. It's hard because ultimately, do you want more money being invested into the PGA Tour? I think yes, that would be great. End quote. So that's the bow on Rory's comments there, kind of explaining recent remarks that he's made.
Yeah, that's kind of where I've taken my stance. And I've taken some heat because everybody knows that I work for the PGA Tour. I do a lot of events. But I've never had an issue with where the money comes from, because so many other sports and so many other companies do business with Saudi Arabia. My issue was with kind of what Rory was saying, that this whole, we're growing the game, we're doing this. No, you're not. You're just kind of what Tiger said. And I thought Tiger, with him putting his stamp on this, I think it's going to change how everything moving forward. After the Open Championship, there's going to be a severe division. And with Tiger saying, listen, what are these guys doing? It's exactly what I've been saying. He said, there is no incentive to practice. There is no incentive for competition. There is no incentive to get down, as he says, in the dirt, because you have all this upfront money. Yes, other athletes make a lot of money. Yes, but they have to go out and earn it. And if they don't earn it, they're not on the team the next year. So I love what Tiger said. I love what Rory said. And yeah, if they want to put a bunch of money, let's go to the PGA Tour. Everybody can play together. But there's no way that both tours are going to live separately and do that. So I'm glad that you asked him, Kyle, to clarify. And I love that Tiger finally put his stamp on this thing. So now we can go this way, and the LIV guys, they can go that way.
Real quick, two things. One, it does seem like the tours have, you know, there again, this is all people are talking about here. It seems like the tours have a little bit boxed out the LIV money and just sort of said, whatever, you guys do your own thing. And I think that LIV and the people behind LIV have kind of taken that a little personally and been like, okay, we'll see how this goes, you know? And I don't know how that's going to play out. But then the other thing, and Coach said it, Tiger, I thought he was extraordinary on the LIV stuff. I thought the way he, and this is sort of what I've been saying, he didn't really mention the PGA Tour a lot, but he said, listen, like, you get a bunch of money. It was almost like he couldn't comprehend why players would take money over the chance to compete for major championships. He was just so like bewildered by anyone who would even consider that. And which is, listen, like, Tiger's got all the money and all the majors. So it's, you know, I think lesser players would be like, whatever, dude, like you have all of both. So it's easy for you to say, but I felt like he was, I thought he was so good on, like, man, like I genuinely think if you made Tiger choose between money and getting to contend for majors, he would choose getting to contend for majors. I just wrote an article about this on for CBSSports.com, and I said, you know, he's the man in the arena. Like he's the man in the arena who he doesn't mind failing. He'll put himself out there. And he's succeeded a lot, but the only thing he doesn't want is to not get an opportunity to contend and to compete. And I think that's rarer in sports and in golf than we realize. And I thought it was pretty cool of him to talk about today.
Can you imagine I promise this will be the last thing I say, because I'm just so disgusted by some of the images that I've seen. Can you imagine what Tiger would say if he would have saw Pat Perez after an 80 celebrating on a plane of victory? Of any kind? What do you think Tiger would have done? He shot an 80 and he was part of a team that had won something. You think he'd be walking around, we are the champions? Stop it. Just stop it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But as Pat said, he made a lot of money, so God bless him. But true competitors, true people that like to line up and say, I want to be better than you, they don't want to play there.
Well, and that's what, I mean, Tiger coming into this week even, like he's probably not going to win, right? And I think he knows that. But damn, like, he just wants to compete at the old course. And I have so much respect for that sort of attitude at this point in his career. Like, he just wants to compete. He's not an idiot. Like, he knows that he doesn't have the goods. He doesn't have the stuff to keep up with Rory and Rahm and Spieth and all these guys. But he just wants to, like, just have like a sliver of an opportunity to win the Open Championship. And I just think that's sweet. Like, I think that is, it's just the opposite of what we gotten from all the LIV stuff. And I think it's freaking awesome.
Here is the Tiger quote to close this out. He was kind of alluding to the uncertainty of being able to, the LIV guys being able to play major championships. And he would say, quote, but that is a possibility that some players will never, ever get a chance to play in a major championship, never get the chance to experience this right here, walk down the fairways at Augusta National. That, to me, I just don't understand it. End quote. Speaking of Tiger Woods, coach, he has played all, by the time he tees off on Thursday, he might have played as many practice holes this week at St. Andrews than he did in the major championships earlier this year. I mean, he is piling up time on the old course right now, clearly getting ready for this week.
It feels like two things. It feels like he's one of us and he wants to take an opportunity to play his favorite course in the world as much as humanly possible. And then also, I think, and it was either you, Rick, or you, KP, one of you two, said he's all in this week. He is all in. He's physically all in. I think it was you that said the physios better be ready the minute he steps off the course, because you can best believe that after 36 holes on Friday, the one person that you will not say did not give it everything he had is Tiger Woods. I don't care if he shoots a plus 10. You know he's going to be grinding, walking across the bridge, going up to the final green, all of that. And that's what I'm here for. Now, on another show I did earlier today, I said, can you imagine if Tiger somehow contends and he's there on Sunday? Imagine what that would be like. I can't. And I know, as Kyle said, it's probably not going to happen, but damn it, the golf fan in me, the golf kid in me, he wants it so bad.
Yeah. So I don't think he can win. But the way the I was walking with a group today, and some of the players were talking about how, like, listen, I've never seen this golf course this firm. Like, not the greens. The greens are actually fairly receptive, but I think it benefits Tiger a lot if there's going to be a ton of run out, because he can just sort of like intellect his way around this place. And that doesn't mean you're going to score. That doesn't mean you're going to even make the cut. But and I think it was Rory that said this in his presser. He's like, the way the course is set up, I actually think he can contend, you know. Wow. I wouldn't pick him to win. I don't really think he's going to be like in it late on Sunday, but this honestly might be the last best opportunity, not just for him to win a major at the Open Championship at St. Andrews, but a major at all, you know, and maybe not. I don't know. He doesn't know how the next couple of years are going to go, but he is, he's going for it, which is pretty cool. And there will be, if he makes the cut, there will be no withdrawing on Saturday night like there was at the PGA Championship.
Yeah, nine months to rest and recuperate before Augusta National.
Yeah, and you know, even missing the U.S. Open to lead into this, he just, his love for this golf course and this event, the Open, is immense, and it's been cool to sort of get to watch that, even, you know, from afar, like in the press room and on the golf course. I'm excited about his week. I think it's going to be special no matter what happens.
Yeah, this, you know, going back to the old course coach for the 150th, and this is, I hope he proves us all wrong, clearly the last time that Tiger will be close to competitive form at the old course, right? Even if we go back in 5 years, 5 years feels like an eternity from now. So this is truly going to, he swatted down like any retirement conversation, which I can't even believe he was asked about, but this should be, I think, looked at through a different lens.
There is no question. I think it should be looked at in a different lens. And somebody in the chat had a good question. Would this be looked at as more impressive than what he did in 2019 at the Masters? And I think that's a phenomenal question. And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know this, that I believe because of what Kyle said, the firmness of this course and the fact that you cannot go over and play the Open Championship first time, second time, maybe even a third time, and really feel like you can compete. We heard Phil famously say for years and years, I'll never win the Open Championship. My game cannot win the Open Championship. So I think there are maybe 30 guys that can legitimately stand in the mirror Wednesday night and say, I have a chance to win this tournament. And with that being said, why can't Tiger contend? Because if he's got the intellect, which we know that he does, if he knows this game better than anybody, knows the humps and the bumps, why can't he got contend when I know that Cameron Young, when I know that Mito Pereira, when I know that all these young studs, what they do last week at the Scottish Open, +7, +8, +10, +11, it takes a lot to play this stuff well. And you throw in all of that. Jack's on campus. Lee Trevino's on campus. All of these big names that normally don't show up, they're there this particular year. That adds more pressure for these young kids. So I think that gives Tiger an even better chance with the Xanders and the JTs and the Rorys. I think it's going to be a big game hunting weekend, and I think the leaderboard Saturday morning is going to be all studs.
As if
the real quick,
good.
Do you want me to end us on Tiger and we can move on to?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I wrote, and I'm glad you brought up the. I'll just read what I wrote because I'm not going to say it better. But I'm glad you brought up the retirement thing because I think. So I wrote this. There's been much chatter this week about whether Tiger would wave goodbye on Friday or Sunday on the Swilcan Bridge, where on Monday he took a photo with the only other man who can even be compared to him. He laughed at the question because to believe deeply that such a thing could happen is to not understand Tiger Woods whatsoever. The through line of Tiger's career and the thing he's always wanted most is simply to be the man in the arena. Now he gets the best arena in sports, perhaps for one last miracle triumph, but far more probably for a concluding defeat. And I think my point in that is, like, it would be so easy to, at 46 with like half a leg, to just sort of wander over here and go to the champions dinner and like hang out or whatever. But like, I think he just wants to feel even what it feels like to lose, right? Because it's the Theodore Roosevelt quote about, like, you know, at least you, like, whether you know triumph or defeat, at least you're not with the cold and timid souls that know neither, you know. And I think that Tiger is fearful of knowing neither. Like, he doesn't want to live there. And so I don't know. I have a ton of respect for him jumping back into the arena. And I think he's going to remain there for a long time. Whether, you know, is he going to be shooting 85s at majors? No, but I think that he's going to, as long as he can, just get in there and mix it up, even if he just leads for a round or two rounds or whatever. And I think that's pretty awesome, because I think it is an indication of the kind of champion that he is.
I love that. And there's like 9 more storylines that I want to talk about, but I can weave them into the picks side of this. We also have a hard out for KP coming up here. So here's what we're going to do. We'll talk more storylines, get into our picks, our best bets are one and done. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger, because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And we're back. Okay, picks, sleepers, top 10, and one and done. Coach, let's start with our sleepers here. You went and you scoured Caesar Sportsbook and you found yourself a golfer at 65-1 who primarily resides on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, and that's why his number is so high. And that's why a lot of people don't know who this dude is. But Ryan Fox can absolutely play. He also owns a top 20 finish at the Open Championship. So he knows how to play links golf. He did not play very well last week, but I think that's just it's one of those bad weeks. But we're talking about sleeper. To me, it's got to be 5,000 or higher. And this number, for a trust and believe, everybody at home, this guy can play. And at plus 6,500, it's worth a little sprinkle.
He had 8 straight top 8s on the DP World Tour. That was going into last week, but I guess that was a co-sanctioned event. He made the cut there. So that is Ryan Fox, 65-1. Mark didn't get the note about 50-1 or longer. He went with Louis Oosthuizen in his sleeper, 40-1. I went with Corey Connors at 80-1. Just give me all that fun tee to green stuff and see what happens. And KP, you found yourself a guy who, outside of Rory McIlroy, might be having the best major championship.
He's up there. You know, 13 guys have made the cut at the first three majors, and Power's one of them, and he's got the sixth best score. Zalatoris and Rory are ahead of him. I think JT's ahead of him. I can't remember the other two that are ahead of him. But he's played really well at the majors. You know, he hasn't been that great in his last couple events. I think he was T30 at the Irish Open. But, man, if you can play major championship golf at places like Southern Hills and the Country Club and Augusta National, that to me says a lot about what you could do at the old course. So, you know, last time we saw a long shot Irishman take the lead going into the final round at the old course, that was Paul Dunn back when he was an amateur. So Seamus Power is a lot shorter odds than Paul Dunn was, but I do think he'll have a good week at the old course this week.
Yeah, 80-1 Seamus Power is Kyle Sleeper. KP, I'll just hang right here with you for your top 10. It's Rory McIlroy. We talked about him from kind of a romantic side of things. Let's talk about him from his chances of winning this week.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. And I was actually talking to him about this today during his practice round. He's never finished in the top 10 in all four majors in the same year. He came close in 2014. He won two. And then I think he finished like T20 at the U.S. Open when Martin Keimer won. But this would be a first for him to finish top 10 in all four majors. And I mean, his golf, he kind of faded at the Travelers, which is the last tournament that he played in. But he was, I think, just cooked from the Canadian Open, the U.S. Open, whatever, four straight weeks that it was that he played. And his golf is, you know, I was looking at strokes gained for the whole year, and he finally overtook Scottie Scheffler going into this week. He's like 2.59 and Scheffler's at 2.58. So as good a year as Scheffler's had, Rory has technically been better if you look at strokes gained. And he's been good at the Open. Three of his last five Opens have been top 10s. So it's not a great number, but it does seem like kind of a lock that he would finish in the top 10 this week.
Doesn't have to worry about that left miss at the old course. Go ahead, miss it left. See what happens. You'll be playing out of the adjacent fairway. Rory McIlroy plus 130 to finish inside the top 10. I got a bone to pick with somebody about this graphic, Coach. I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's producer Jacob. First of all, it says Greg on the side.
Why would it be me?
I know.
Why would I have anything to do? I love my
name. Coach doesn't know how to put this graphic together, to be fair.
That's for sure.
Thank
but
you,
I thought,
to be fair.
Coach, did you pick the same guy for top 10 and the pick to win?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure that like you didn't like send duplicates in. I'm just checking. So this is all Jacob's fault.
I thought you were talking about the name.
I'm talking about the name too. There's a lot going on this graphic that doesn't look right.
Graphic. I am always defending the jeweler.
There we go.
See how fast he gets it done. I will never. My life can't exist without Jacob. So I would never take it from him.
It's probably my fault for forcing this podcast to be taped an hour earlier than everybody thought. So you can blame me, Coach.
Well, it's all for a good reason, though. I'm sure you have a very good reason for this.
He says that like he knows you have a horrible reason for it.
He doesn't, but it's not a great reason.
No, I do know the reason, and I respect it. So I will say this. So in golf betting, we call this stacking sometimes. If you're super, super confident in a guy to win, but you still want to have a chance to cash it because it's so incredibly difficult to do it, then you'll stack where I'll do a top 10 and a top 20 with the same guy. How can you not do that with Xander Schauffele? He's won his last two starts, and he won the Scottish Open on a leagues course, and he even said he had his B game, C game, and still was able to get it done on Sunday. So he had good days, bad days, still got it done. So I think he's going to be an easy top 10. I also think he'll win, but this gives me a way of guaranteeing me a profit to play it this way.
Plus 165, Xander to finish inside the top 10. 1,400, that's 14-1, on Xander Schauffele to win for the coach. Xander Schauffele, hottest player on planet Earth right now. I went with Max Homa. I love Max Homa. I love his stat profile. I love everything that's going on. He's playing with Tiger. He's stoked about it. 5-1 for him to finish inside the top 10. KP, your pick to win. It's the same as mine. And Zach Jeffers was very astute earlier. We have a comment from Zach. He says, can we take the pulse on KP's Spieth victory by 7 take from TPC Potomac week? Well, Zach, I think Kyle's just given us his answer.
It's not going to be seven, but it is going to be a Spieth win. I asked him this in his presser today. I said, you've talked a lot about kind of the creativity that you enjoy on links courses. And I said, does that free you up more mentally or physically? And he said he thinks it frees him up more physically, because he said, you don't have to take like, okay, this straight line, this is the point that you got to hit to. And if you don't hit it there, you're not going to score. He's like, you can be more sort of free flowing and say, well, I like sort of just need to hit it over here and run it up here and get it close and then make the putt. And it just, there's more options, which I think just unlocks so much of what makes him great. And we've seen this a little bit at Augusta National, but we see it more at Open Championships. He's been so good at this tournament over the last, basically since 2015, when he finished T4. He's got a T20, he's got a T30, and everything else is like scaring the win, is like almost winning. And I don't know. It would be a, you know, I think either him or Rory winning would be a cool way to end the summer, but I think I'd trust Spieth more on really fast, firm, links style golf courses.
Spieth for myself and Kyle, coach, as he mentioned, went with Xander Schauffele. Mark went with Rory McIlroy at 9-1 to win the Open Championship. Best bets, gentlemen. This is where we go over to Caesars and we look through every possible option and we find the best thing that we can find. And coach, you found yourself a top 20 on someone who's already won a major this year.
You're darn right. I think that last week really ticked off JT missing the cut. And the image of him standing over having to watch Jordan Spieth tee off from the hotel room that he was staying in, that also ticked him off. So I think he's going to come in, play really, really well. But I don't think he is absolutely suited to win on an Open Championship course. So I'll give him a top 20, though, at plus money.
Just a hair of plus money, plus 105 for JT on that return if he finishes on the first two pages of the leaderboard. We've talked a lot about Rory. I like him. How can you not? I think he goes top 10 at all four major championships. And if he does here this week, it's plus 130. And KP, coach was just saying, you take a guy to win. You back it up with a top 10. You have done that yourself with Mr. Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. I think my question for you, Rick, is do you like Rory at that number more than Spieth? I guess you do, but I'm wondering why you like Rory at that number more than Spieth at this number.
I think Spieth has had three really good venues for him. And he has not made much of his major championship season this year. I think the floor for Rory is incredibly high right now and much higher than that of Jordan Spieth. Will Spieth find the magic? I mean, right, he stunk on Sunday at the Scottish Open and could have still won it fairly easily. I think Spieth's range of outcomes is much wider than Rory's.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Real quick, guys, I know somebody in the chat, Jeff said, no love for returning champ Morikawa. It hasn't been widely talked about, but he's trying to implement, I don't know why he's doing it right now, a draw. And so he's been playing terrible. And then he talked about, oh, I'm trying to move it both ways because that's what all the other guys can do. I'd be very careful with calling Morikawa this week. I just don't think he's going to play well. You can't make these changes at this time of the year.
Yeah, the thing that worries me about Morikawa, and I think Rick and I have talked about this, but I don't know if he's a good wind player. You know, I watched him at Southern Hills. I'll never forget. It was the par three. It was like the 14th, I think. And he just hit this ball that got swatted, just got Mutomboed out of the air, you know? And it was kind of jarring to see a two-time major champion hit it. And it might've just been a bad shot, but I obviously he's a really good ball striker, but I don't know if he hits that kind of heavy, and even like flighted ball that you need at Open Championships where the wind blows. There was some weather last year, but it wasn't crazy. And if it gets up at all at St. Andrews this year, I don't know. I'm curious to see how he plays in that.
If he's able to win, it'll be the first back-to-back Open champion since Patty Harrington did it in 2007, 2008, which was immediately after Tiger 05-06. That's pretty sick.
I think Tom Watson was the one to do it before that, like 83, 84 or something, 78, 79. I don't know.
Fun fact, Colin Morikawa in the longest winless drought of his career. It's 19 starts. Guys would die for that. right? Oh, one out of every 19. Sure, sure, sure. Longest winless drought of his career. That's how sick this guy is. Those are our bets. We've got one more thing to do. It's our one and done selections. We're going to do that. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, I got one more thing to do. I got like six more minutes with Kyle here from the scene. So, one and done, gentlemen. And I've got the fan vote. Third place for the fans with 15% of the vote, Lou Eustason. Second place, 16% of the vote, Tony Finau. And in a runaway, an absolute runaway, 28.5% of the vote, the fans have opted to go with Patrick Cantlay for this.
Wow. That's disgusting. That's a horrible pick. Congratulations.
usually it's coach who rips the fans in this at this moment. Now it's Kyle.
The fans can pound sand. I'm just jealous of their picks. Pat, you're going with the guy that's finished in the top 10 in two of 24 starts at majors.
It hasn't been great.
I also don't know how creative Cantlay is. He can't have had very many good Open Championship finishes. I know he hasn't finished in the top 10 because his only two are, I think, 2019 Masters and 2019 PGA, maybe. What's his best Open finish, Rick?
I'll find out. While I do that, the fans are okay. They're complaining that they didn't have any options. They came in halfway through the year. Like we have no less options than they do.
The next year they can just vote on their own. We're handing them players is what we're doing. Next year, you know what? Let them just vote on their own, and we use the highest percentage, and then we'll see how they'll really do. That's what we do.
Patrick Cantlay, T12 in 2018, T41 in 2019, missed the cut last year.
Say that again.
I knew that did not register. T12 in 2018, T41 in 2019, missed the cut last year.
So he's only played in three. Sam Burns has only played in one, by the way. The number nine player in the world's played in one Open Championship.
Right.
It's
weird. Yeah, I hate the Cantlay pick. I don't know if he's even creative. Like, can he fight the ball?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I don't know.
Not when I've ever watched him. But we talk about Morikawa not being a great wind player, and he won last year. But I don't think Cantlay is. He's a great ball striker. I don't know if he's a great wind player.
Yeah, no. I can't get that shot he hit into the water at Travelers out of my head. It was like 60 yards short. What is that? What I don't understand how a pro hits that shot. Hey.
At least this week, if you hit it 60 yards short of the pin, you might still be on the green. You still have a putt at it.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, it's going to be so awesome. Like, I can't wait to see balls just bounding around all over the place here.
Scotty Scheffler for Sia Najad, so you can chalk that up to a missed cut. Kyle, you went with DJ, which, okay, I had some live guys available, and I was like, I might as well just use them. I didn't end up doing it, but I think this is kind of savvy.
Yeah, well, it's, I guess it's basically the only top 25 guy that I had left. So I was saving him and Brooks. I don't really know why. I've spent Brooks at the US Open, so I'm using DJ. DJ's played really well here at times. He hasn't, I think he finished like I don't know, 48 in 2015 or something, but he has had some really good rounds here. So I don't know. We'll see.
Jacob and I have gone with Max Homa. Jacob, let's roll, baby. You and I, you've been hot. I'm trying to ride the coattails. Let's do it.
I mean, look, we avoided the Sia Najad mush. What I am worried about Max Homa this week is getting like just the Tiger mush of having to play with him for the first two rounds.
Like the hard eye emojis.
He could be distracted.
Did you guys not see his post?
What's that?
Not every single one since 2015 that he's made like once a week about loving Tiger.
There you go. But he now has a voice to it. He posted it today, talking about the first time he ever played with Tiger because he's such his hero. He literally has a picture of him staring at him from behind, almost in hero worship. And then at the very end of the piece, he goes, oh, by the way, I missed the cut. And that's what's going to happen this week. He's going to miss the cut again because he's going to be so starstruck of playing with all those people around. Good pick, boys. Good pick.
Thank
you. Coach, you want a showdown on that? Max Homa to miss the cut. I'll take he will not miss the cut.
No, I'm not going to do that. I didn't say he was going to miss the cut.
I wanted to dance. All right.
I did say he was going to miss the cut.
Actually, I think you did just say he was going to miss the cut.
No, he's playing too good. That'd be a dumb bet on my part. No, I'm not going to do that. I would take your head up with Ryan Fox, though.
Homa versus Ron Fox?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Damn it, let's go. Rick, we've got a showdown, big boy. We've got a showdown.
Wait.
Wait for it.
Come on. It's going to be a
showdown. Come on, Kyle. Give me a little bit of Kyle. There you go.
He has to do it in the media center, which is way worse.
That's hilarious. Randall Chambly is over there going, what is Kyle doing?
Yeah, they're revoking his credential as we speak. Jordan Spieth for Greg. We obviously love it. Coach, you have put your money where your mouth is and said, I'm going with the Fox, Ryan Fox.
I saw this dude do an interview in two tournaments ago because the European Tour, I've told my boss of the PGA Tour, why this doesn't happen every week, I don't know. But the in-round interviews, I love. And he did an interview, and he was like, I don't know why I'm playing this good, but I'm just going to ride it and ride it and ride it. This dude is a beast on the DP World Tour. He knows how to play Lynx golf. He's had a top 20. I love him this week. I almost feel like I should give Jacob strokes. That's how confident I am in this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure he would accept them. Yeah.
I feel like I should do that. That's how much of a mismatch this is this week.
The fans went with Patrick Cantlay. Mark has Tyrrell Hatton. So the fans, they can get very, very close with a Cantlay win and a Hatton miscut. You guys figure out the likelihood of that happening. Gentlemen, I'm right on time. We've got more coming tomorrow. 11 a.m. Eastern, there is a gambling preview stream right here on the First Cut YouTube channel that will be live. Bring your questions. We will bring the answers. Producer Jacob, all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter is there. He's there. He's in St. Andrews. He's available on Twitter at KylePorterCBS, and the coach is available at The Coach Rules. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. Catch you next time.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.